Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I read this passage this past week, the verse that jumped out at me, it's not on the screen anymore, but it is that verse that says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." And I want to talk about, what's your immigration status? What's your immigration status? An immigrant is defined in Webster's dictionary as an alien, a foreigner, and an outsider. An immigrant is a person who enters and comes to live temporarily and sometimes permanently in a foreign country, but they have citizenship in another country. Immigration and citizenship is a hot topic today in our world. In fact, I just want to read, I get the AP news every week, and I just read on this morning's AP news, Los Fresnos, Texas. Leonardo Baez and Nora Avila Gull Bakery in Texas community of Los Fresnos is a daily stop for many residents to share gossip over coffee and pick up cakes and pastries for birthdays and office parties or for themselves. When Homeland Security investigator agents showed up at Abby's Bakery in February and arrested the owner and 8 employees, residents of Los Fresnos were shocked. But the bakery owner, Baez and Avila, are a Mexican couple who are legal in the U.S. and permanent residents in the U.S., could lose everything for being accused of concealing and hoarding immigrants who were in the United States. Immigration is a hot topic today. There's talk about how to keep non-citizens from entering the country and how to send immigrants who are already here back to their country of origin. And during his first term, the first black president of the United States of America was questioned on multiple times about his immigration status. It was questioned whether or not he was actually a natural born citizen of the United States or whether he was an immigrant and thus ineligible to be president of the United States. Those who read between the line knew that the person who was asking the questions was asking more around race and ethnicity and color than citizenship. In line with the 47th president's plan to crack down on illegal immigration, on January 23rd of this year, the AP News also reported that Congress moved and the House approved the bill that required the detainment of unauthorized immigrants, marking one of the first legislation that the 47th president of the United States would sign into law. Congress, with some bipartisan support, so it wasn't just Republicans, signed and approved this plan. So the question I would ask you, do you know your immigration status? Every year, thousands of people from around the world leave their home country and travel to America. Some because their country of citizenship is ravaged by violence or civil war. Some of these problems are really due to poor economic conditions and in their home country, or and they're just running, trying to find peace, trying to find happiness, trying to find health. And they're coming to America, which is viewed in many people's eyes as the promised land, the land that is flowing with milk and money. Immigration in the U.S. has a rich history, though. And this is not intended to be some historical sermon. So a lot of missing pieces will be there, and I invite you to fill in the missing pieces. But immigration has a rich history that dates back to the time when the U.S. was still a British colony. And early immigrants arrived in the British colonies on two ways, at least two ways and two paths. Some were forced immigrants through transportation and slavery and the Middle Passage. And we know what happened to millions of them. And some came voluntarily through Ellis Island in New York. Ellis Island, which served as the primary immigration processing station for the U.S. from 1892 all the way to 1954, processing over 12 million immigrants into this country. And between 1783 and 2019, more than 86 million people have legally immigrated to the United States. 82, according to this report on Quora.com, it says 82% of those that immigrated to the United States arrived from Western Europe, countries like Ireland and England and France before the 1890s. And by the 1920s, more immigrants to the U.S. were arriving from other places like Germany and Poland and France and Denmark. Today, most of the immigrants to the United States come from outside of Europe. In 2006, the top countries that brought immigrants into the United States were South Korea, China, Philippines, India, Colombia, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Vietnam, Guatemala, Cuba, Mexico, and Jamaica, where I'm from. And as many of you know, I am an immigrant. My parents migrated to the United States when I was 7 years old in order to allow us to have the educational opportunities in the United States that we would not have had in Jamaica. In Jamaica, once you graduate from what is considered elementary school, you have to pay for an education. And so my parents, having five children, had to make a decision, well, who will be educated? Because we can't afford to educate all of them. My mom had an opportunity to come to the United States with a doctor that she worked with and bring all of us as a result of that so that we could have educational opportunities in America that we would not have had in Jamaica. So I have my Jamaican birth certificate. I couldn't find it. I was looking for it, but I have my green card when I came to the United States. I have my Jamaican passport, and I have my United States passport. Both of these say that I am citizen two places. I'm a citizen in two places. What does that mean? While some may view citizenship as a right, as a naturalized citizen of the United States, I view citizenship as a privilege with many benefits. And our scripture lesson for today in Philippians focuses on citizenship, but not citizenship in Jamaica or the U.S., but citizenship in another place. Several years ago, even now and then, I see vehicles driving around and the back of the windshield or the bumper has this bumper sticker on it. And it has these three words, N-O-T-W. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen, a juror is shaking his head. And do you know what it stands for, juror?
Not of this world.
Not of this world. Not of this world. A quote from the scripture that places value on our citizenship in heaven. This emphasis on biblical value set Christians apart from the people of the world. The phrase emphasizes themes of spiritual identity and separation from worldly values, and it focuses on a heavenly view. The phrase is perhaps best known and most popular in very conservative evangelical Christian settings, and it's a reference to several scriptures in the Bible. John chapter 18, verse 36, where Jesus says the kingdom is not of this world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. In John chapter 15, verse 19, if you were of this world, you would love this world. However, because you are not of this world, you do not love this world. John 17, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But what exactly does it mean to say that Christians are not of this world? This is when I take a break and you talk. What does it mean to say that we're not of this world? Any thoughts? Thanks, Shane. What does it mean to say that we're not of this world? Come on, somebody.
Citizens of heaven?
Citizens of heaven. What does it mean? This is not our final home. Anyone in on our chat? Did I get off my Zoom? No, I'm still on there, right? Anyone in on Zoom want to chime in? What does it mean to say that Christians are not of this world? Does it mean that they are, as I said in a sermon recently, they're odd, they're bizarre, they're strange, they're weird?
Their cares and concerns are not of this world, but of the one to come. Cares and concerns are not of this world. The same things that people of the world care and concern about, like money and everything. You have to think about the other world.
Okay. Terry, I'm a child of God, so I have dual citizenship. All right, Terry. Terry, you want to unmute and preach the rest of the sermon? We are answerable to a higher authority. That's Lisa. We don't conform to the standards. Jim says, we don't conform to the standards of society. We follow higher paths. Love it, love it, love it. Some Christians use not of this world to express their faith and remind others that, as has already been said, their faithful citizenship is in heaven rather than on earth. Scripture does teach that Christians are not of this world, but not because they're weird, not because they're strange, but because they have been received into the kingdom of God by the grace and power of God. The death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ has adopted us into the family of God. And so by that, we have dual citizenship. And in our scripture today, Paul addresses this idea of dual citizenship. And in five simple words, Paul captures the heart and the core of scripture and the teaching of Christian identity when he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Christians have citizenship in heaven. For some of us, when we hear the word citizenship, though, what comes to mind really is the connections that we have where? On earth. And the Bible teaches that Christians also have citizenship in heaven, even though they live on earth as temporary residents or aliens. Alien is the word used in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, actually. It really describes immigration status of citizens, of Christians, rather. Dear friends, I urge you Paul writes, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from evil desires which war against your soul. Paul is really describing this tension that you and I have to live as citizens of heaven on this earth. What happens in that tension? The tension is that I have to fight against greed. I have to fight against selfishness. I have to fight against pushing my pride and my ego and what I want up front and pushing everybody else aside. The tension of living as citizens up here, wherever heaven is, and then still walking down here. It's this pull. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced, Paul talks about it this way, when I would do good, evil is all around me. And it's fighting against my soul. And so Paul says, we're aliens. Here, alien doesn't really describe the, you know, the science fiction creatures with extra arms and extra head and extra eyes. Instead, it describes a temporary resident status in a location. I have my green card. And I couldn't find it. I wish I could have found it. But on my green card, it said, I am a resident alien in the United States of America. It describes a different resident status for those who have been claimed by a country or who have been claimed by Christ. Aliens. Another word used to describe such a person in the Bible is an immigrant. The scripture lesson today invites us to look at another country. Now we, you know, how often do we talk about heaven? And don't answer this, at least not out loud. I've met people, and I'm one of them, that have struggled with the whole concept of heaven. Can I be honest? What is heaven going to be like? Where is heaven? Who gets to go and who doesn't get to go? Who decides who gets in? I was at a church once and the pastor was teaching a class, and maybe that's why I'm not there anymore. And the pastor was teaching a class. He said, okay, my Bible study this week is going to be about heaven, and I'm going to tell you all there is to know about heaven. I said, when have you been there? The other country that the scripture talks about, heaven, has no borders. It has a deity, but the scripture calls this deity a king. So is it London? It hasn't been seen. The deity hasn't been seen. It's a kingdom where you pay no taxes. I like that idea already. It's made up of people of all nationalities. There are no restrictions on who can become a citizen. And when I was reading all of that in the scripture, I said, oh my God, take me to that place right about now. I'm fascinated with this concept of dual citizenship. How I can have both of these. There are countries that require you to give up your citizenship. And I don't know any of them off the top of my head, but there are countries that if you want to be a part of this country, you have to give up that country. You have to have total loyalty. Fortunately for me, I don't remember when it happened, but the U.S. no longer required me to give up my citizenship in Jamaica in order to become a citizen of the United States. In fact, I just renewed my Jamaican passport about 2 years ago. So I'm fascinated with this concept of being a citizen in both of these countries and having all the rights and privileges. When I go to Jamaica and I flash this, I don't have to go through customs. I just say, well, yes, am I? Talk like this and that. Yeah, boy. Damn. Come to America. Good afternoon. This idea, and I believe that's exactly what Paul is talking about, this idea of dual citizenship. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, when he says Christians are not of this world. So I want to lift up some observations that I made from this text. The word Paul used for citizenship is translated as state or country or national, nationality or kingdom. Paul also used an unusual word for is. Your citizenship is in heaven. And the word that Paul uses for is comes from the old word that talks about something that has been in place for a long time. It suggests that heavenly citizenship for those of us who are claimed by Christ is not an afterthought or something newly created. However, heavenly citizenship has been in existence, according to Paul. It has been in God's mind from the beginning of time. And I want to leave with you three brief observations from Paul's statement that our citizenship is in heaven. Number one, dual citizenship. Every country decides whom it considers to be a citizen. And right now we're in the heat of some really difficult decisions. In fact, I can honestly say to you that there are times in my day when I fear that as a naturalized citizen, at some point the government might tell me to get out because I wasn't born here and I'm not alone. You say, oh, it will never get to that. The government decides who they consider a citizen. And this whole concept of dual citizenship means that a person is a national or citizen of two countries at the same time. And each country has its nationality and its laws based on its own policies. Dual national citizenship or allegiance to both. How are you going to hold allegiance to heaven and earth? Your allegiance to both countries. So if, hypothetically, not that Jamaica has anything that America wants, but if Jamaica goes to war with America, which side am I on? When I pastored Palisades Lutheran Church and my daughters went to Palisades High School, my daughters were on, Cassidy and Cameron were on the cheerleading team for the football team. Homecoming at Palisades High was playing Dorsey, which is my alma mater. So I'm sitting in the stands. My daughters are cheering for Pally, but my school is playing Pally. I said, I was kind of glad that Dorsey Dons beat Pally's, but I didn't say that to my daughter. Which side are you on, Dad? I'm cheering for you, honey, but I'm also cheering for the Dorsey Dons. Which side? So, which side? We're required as dual citizens to obey the laws in both. Either country has the right to enforce its law. If more than one country recognizes you as a citizen, you have dual citizen. One of the most popular and ironic combinations of dual citizenship today of both the United States and Great Britain. That's like a really interesting dual citizenship right there. But scripture suggests that you and I and those who claim faith in Christ have citizenship. So for those who are U.S. citizens, it means that they are both citizens of the United States and citizens of the kingdom of God, or citizens of earth and citizens of heaven. And how did that happen? How did you become citizen of heaven? I had to take a test to become a citizen of the United States. What are the three branches of government? Executive, legislative, and judicial. And I don't even remember all of the other questions. I literally had to take a test. I mean, I was young enough that they didn't have to do any background check on me, but they background checked my parents. In order to become a citizen, my parents had to have jobs. They either had to have a suitable rental home that they had been in for a set amount of time, or they had to own property to become a citizen of the United States. How do you become a citizen of heaven? What's the criteria? A MA, a BA, a PhD, a JD? How do you become a citizen of heaven? Who's let in? Who's not? Scripture would suggest that by faith in Christ, we're made citizens of that kingdom. And by virtue of life in the world, Christians are also citizens of an earthly kingdom. So we live as dual citizens. You and all the other believers live a life just like I live in America, dual citizenship. We're living on earth as aliens because our other citizenship is in heaven. How do you do that? In God's kingdom, heaven rules. On earth, who rules? In God's kingdom, on earth, the state rules and earthly government rules. In God's kingdom in heaven, who rules? Challenges, tensions, and growth opportunity always exist when two kingdoms collide. Have you experienced that in your faith walk, in your journey? When the two kingdoms collide, which one has the greater pull? I've already demonstrated with the football game where my heart and my allegiance was. I mean, I was divided because I wasn't rooting for Pally. I was rooting for my daughters. Let's get it clear. But I was rooting for Dorsey. What happens when thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven collide? What happens there? What happens when that tension becomes so much that it seems like, which way am I going to go? Who am I going to root for? The kingdom of heaven, we're called to live in a high standards according to the scripture that Shane read. Talks about living above the worldly standards. And that's jargon that's used to say, you know, we are called to live a life that exemplifies the life of Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? What does it look like for you? Paul affirms this truth in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, by declaring that followers of Christ should shine as light in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation. We certainly have an opportunity in this day and this time to shine, but the tension is still there. Jesus and his disciples lived their lives between the mountains and between the multitudes. The tension is still there. They spent time with God, but they didn't neglect spending time with people. The tension is still there. And their lives were dedicated to the devotion of God, but they also focused on service of others. The dual citizenship, our dual citizenship is true and genuine, but it creates some tension. How do I live on earth and live out a life of Christ that exemplifies the citizenship that I have in heaven? How do I do that? Number two. Even though Paul declares that Christians have citizenship in heaven, we're still subject to all human beings' ups and downs. None of us walk on water. We are all subjected to the, I love this word, the vicissitudes of life. We are all subjected to the misfortunes. And if we start wars, even if they're tariff wars, don't be shocked if other countries push back just because we say we are a Christian nation. If there are diseases and epidemics and viruses and pandemics that we don't pay attention to, don't be surprised if people die. There it is, the tension between living as a citizen of heaven and living as a citizen on earth. If famine spreads because we are greedy and we still have enough food to feed everyone, but we're greedy, don't be surprised if someday we find ourselves in hunger. That tension between living as people who are citizens of heaven and people who are citizens on earth, how do you balance that? How do I balance that? When I step off the plane in Jamaica, the patois comes out. It just comes out. When I'm around Jamaicans, it comes out. It's like Southerners. You know, I start saying this and that. Then when I come back to the U.S., it's this and that. The tension. Christians are subject to the same cold, the same winter, the same summer, the same laws, the same pain and suffering as anyone else. If that was the case, that we were immune from those things, everybody would be a Christian. Being a citizen in heaven doesn't suggest denying that we are in the world. It does not. Instead, we should share in the challenges that are in the world. And don't we have a lot of them? Number three, citizenship in heaven does not mean that Christians walk around with their heads in the cloud. Just because I'm a Christian and I have citizenship in heaven doesn't mean I am unaware of what's happening around me. Some people would have us believe that divinity and heavenly things consume every moment of their life. You know, they would make you think that 24/7 they have gospel music on, 24/7 they're reading their Bible, 24/7 they're praying. They're what I call the spiritual elites. And you know what else I say about them? They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. All they do is pray. All they do is read their Bible. All they do is go to church. All they do is fast. All they do is... But over my 30 years of ministry, I've discovered that some people who act super religious, they're doing just that. Acting. They're acting. And whenever I encounter a person like that, I can't help but think of the words of the song. Hear me, good brothers, come here, one and all. Don't brag about standing or you will surely fall. You're shining your light, yes, and shine it. You should. be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. It's a challenge to have dual citizenship. And I don't believe Paul understands this saying of being a citizen in heaven because we are oblivious to what is happening on earth. Paul is saying we are informed on how to act on earth by our relationship with God, how to treat others because of our citizenship in heaven. I don't believe Paul is saying that because we have citizenship in heaven, we should check out and leave this present world. It's not wishful thinking. It's not escaping the reality of the world. Yes, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. It doesn't mean that earthly or worldly involvement is irrelevant. It doesn't mean we shouldn't roll up our sleeves and go to work about bringing changes in society with all of the problems in the world. Paul is saying, use your faith in God to impact your earthly citizenship. Do you have dual citizenship? Anybody here an immigrant? All of y'all were born in the U.S.? So I'm going to come hide at your house when immigration... when they come looking for me, I'm going to go looking for you, all right? I think what Paul is suggesting is that we're trying to establish a perspective. How does my citizenship in heaven inform my citizenship on earth? How does my citizenship in heaven impact my citizenship on earth? How does my citizenship in heaven cause me to live and treat people on earth? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to have dual citizenship, which does not come without challenges. Amen.